Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and I want to tell you a little bit about myself before we get started. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Florida, a master's degree in education from Armstrong Atlantic State University, and a doctorate in education from Georgia Southern University. I'm a certified clinical hypnotherapist, a member of both the American Board of Hypnotherapy and the National Guild of Hypnotists, and I'm president of the American Alliance of Hypnotists. I'm the director of the Steve G. Jones School of Clinical Hypnotherapy. I also serve on the board of directors of the American Lung Association in Los Angeles. I have over 2 decades of experience in hypnotherapy, and I still maintain a busy practice and teaching schedule because I see clients and teach classes worldwide. My client base consists mainly of people who want to lose weight, stop smoking, or gain confidence. Other clients include sales teams interested in boosting motivation and increasing income. Also, singles looking for love, insomniacs desiring proper sleep, and actors desiring more confidence for their next audition. When I travel to see clients and teach hypnotherapy certification classes around the world, I visit such places as Tokyo, Japan, Barcelona, Spain, Paris, France, London, England, Montreal, Canada, Los Angeles, California, and New York, just to name a few. By the way, since you have an interest in hypnosis, perhaps you'd be interested in becoming a certified clinical hypnotherapist. It's very easy to do. All you have to do is go to my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com, and click on Hypnosis Classes at the top. You can either train in person or online. After your training, you'll be added to our worldwide directory of certified clinical hypnotherapists, and you'll receive a certificate. I was fortunate for many years to have my office in Beverly Hills, California, where I worked with such wonderful people as Tom Mankiewicz, the writer of Superman, Geraldine Saunders, the writer of The Love Boat, and many other celebrities. I have been interviewed on CNN, Fox News, and appeared on True TV, in addition to having my own hypnosis TV show. With my over 20 years of experience, I'm happy to share with you techniques that I've both developed and learned which can help you improve your life. I encourage you to visit my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. There you will find my life's work, 22 books on hypnotherapy, over 3,000 hypnosis recordings available as downloadable MP3s or CDs, and these recordings will program your mind to achieve goals in such areas as weight loss, motivation, and stopping smoking. I also have audiobooks, such as this one, where I'm talking with you and sharing with you in a very dynamic way techniques that you can use to improve your life and the way you do things. The reason I'm telling you all of this is not to impress you, but to impress upon you that I, your teacher, am very capable and I know what I'm talking about. I'm also very happy for the opportunity to share this information with you, so rest assured that you're in good hands and let's have some fun as we now expand your knowledge. I wish you well in all of your endeavors and please be sure to visit my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. Hello, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and let's take a look at Kundalini activation. There are many sources of spiritual power that are available to us if we're open to the possibilities. Kundalini, although a source of mental and physical power, still remains a mystery to most people. Kundalini is a source of unlimited power that already exists in each of us. But it is our responsibility to activate this source and to tap into its potential. Kundalini is called the snake power, or more specifically sometimes the serpent power. The word Kundalini means coiled in Sanskrit. So imagine the Kundalini as a coiled snake that is located at the base of your spine, or the sacrum. Kundalini is also represented by a goddess. When the Kundalini Shakti is envisioned as a goddess, the Kundalini spirit rises to the head and unites with the Supreme Being, the Lord Shiva. And this rising is essential in releasing the power of the Kundalini, because when the infinite potential energy is raised in the body and spirit, it stimulates higher centers of the mind. So it enhances intuition, enhances mental clarity, and enhances creativity. So when you raise the kundalini, there are many benefits. So let's look at the purpose of kundalini. Kundalini is an instinctive or libidinal force, and as I mentioned, also known as Shakti. Kundalini is part of the subtle bodies that are aligned with the chakras. Subtle bodies are psycho-spiritual beings. Each one remains in a subtle plane of existence. Subtle bodies are part of a chain of being, the lowest of which is the physical body. You can see the subtle bodies radiating as an aura outside of the physical body. Kundalini is a concentrated form of prana, or life force, which lies dormant in the chakras or energy points of the physical body and waits to be activated. Let's look at the mental connections to kundalini. The spirit rises up through the spine to the brain for illumination. The kundalini is activated inside the brain, but on a spiritual level. By raising the kundalini to the brain level, it can stay near the crown of the head permanently. What about the physical connections to kundalini? Kundalini rises up the channel of the spine, also known as the Sushumna. The spirit is curled up in the back part of the root chakra, curled around the sacrum, or the beginning of the spine, and it's curled around it 3.5 times. The kundalini opens up a new pathway in the physical body's nervous system, so the body must be prepared for the activation. If the physical body is not prepared, then the premature entry of the kundalini into the body can cause mental instability. Let's look at how to activate the kundalini. One popular way to activate the kundalini is through astral projection. On my website, astraltravelnow.com, I go into detail about how to astral project. But for our purposes now, I just want you to understand that astral projection is the process of separating the subtle bodies from the physical body. Astral projection can be achieved through meditation or self-hypnosis. The subtle bodies leave the physical body temporarily, but are still connected to the physical body with the silver cord, and this allows them to return and reunite with the physical body once the astral experience is ended. This is commonly known as an out-of-body experience. You can also activate the kundalini power through sustained periods of deep meditation. Deep meditation will release the kundalini and allow you to remain in a state of infinite bliss. In order to reach this state, you must, of course, exercise meditation skills over time. So to do so, find a quiet, serene place where you can meditate in an undisturbed manner. Adjust the lighting and temperature to make a more pleasing environment. Sit or lie down in a comfortable position where you will not have to move or readjust frequently. Allow plenty of time to quiet your mind and let go of stressful thoughts. Relax your physical and mental activity. Retain your breath for as long as you are comfortable, and inhale and exhale much more slowly than you normally would. As I mentioned, you can also activate the kundalini through self-hypnosis. You can reach the state that I just mentioned by relaxing your body and mind in a comfortable place. Then focus on the inward relaxation of your mind. With your eyes closed, visualize the sun setting and count down from 10 to 1 as the sun lowers. As you count and see the sun go lower, allow yourself to become more and more relaxed. Whether you use astral projection, meditation, or hypnosis, it's also important to combine chakra meditation with the technique you choose. The 7 chakras are energy centers along the spine. Imagine activating each one as you move up the body. So begin at the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine, then the sacral chakra, which corresponds to approximately the level of the ovaries or the prostate, then the solar plexus chakra, which is approximately at the navel area, then the heart chakra, which is at the level of the heart, then the throat chakra, which is at the level of the throat or the neck area, then the brow or third eye chakra between the eyebrows, and then the crown chakra at the top of the head. As you imagine each of these energy centers, imagine them illuminating and imagine them clearing themselves. If you're using self-hypnosis as your technique, after you've finished imagining all the chakras, clear your mind and then count to 3 slowly and end the self-hypnosis session. If you're using meditation as your technique, then you can simply slowly open your eyes afterwards. If you're using astral projection as your technique, then slowly return to your physical body and then open your eyes. As you master the techniques of Kundalini activation, it's going to be important for you to visualize yourself raising your Kundalini. With that in mind, I'd like to talk now about visualization techniques. Now, your imagination is your most powerful resource. No matter what your circumstances are, your mind has limitless capabilities and endless possibilities. And you can use this to your full advantage. You can allow your imagination to lead your body, your actions, your decisions, and your future. By utilizing creative visualization, you can reveal the possibilities of your future. Once you can see the possibilities in your imagination, you can make them a reality through your actions, and you can accomplish things at a greater level. So let's look at creative visualization in sports. Athletes commonly use creative visualization as affirmations. It is very common practice to have athletes imagine themselves executing routines that they often have trouble with. It has been shown to be a very effective tool for overcoming obstacles in athletic performance. By imagining a successful execution, the body physically responds to this new possibility. Studies also show that when you imagine something, there is a signal sent to that part of your body. So let's say, for example, that you're a professional baseball player, and I've had the honor of working with professional baseball players who help enhance the quality of their game through hypnosis. When you imagine yourself swinging at the ball, your brain actually sends nerve impulses to the muscles involved with swinging that bat. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to swing the bat when you imagine it, but you do get a form of credit for imagining it. You get credit toward another practice. So you can practice physically, but you can also practice in your imagination. It's not quite as powerful as practicing physically in terms of training the muscles to do what they're supposed to do, but it can be infinitely more powerful to practice in your imagination when it comes to the mental advantage that you will gain. Because when you imagine swinging a bat in your mind, you can imagine it happening perfectly. You're actually training your mind and training your body to swing that bat perfectly at the ball. So, the old saying is, practice makes perfect. The new saying is, perfect practice makes perfect. If you can practice in your mind, doing it perfectly, you can translate this energy onto the field. So, when an athlete imagines performing their job perfectly, the mind is expanded due to the imagination, and the mind now accepts this perfect execution as a reality. Suddenly, the athlete is capable of performing at a higher level. This is considered an integral aspect of sports medicine and training, by the way, guided imagery. So, for example, when an athlete is recovering from a sports injury, they can imagine themselves doing what they used to do, and that can help pull them toward getting back to the top of their game. So after a shoulder injury, for example, a football player who is a quarterback can imagine himself throwing like he used to throw. A runner who has had a knee injury can imagine herself running like she used to run. This actually speeds up the recovery process. So never underestimate the power of visualization. Always use it whenever you can to get yourself to the next level, or if you've taken a step backwards, to get yourself back to where you were, imagining yourself doing whatever you do perfectly. Perhaps one of the most strikingly powerful uses of visualization is in the realm of creativity. Now, if you imagine great books or great pieces of art or great movies or great stories or great sculptures, you have to realize that that started in someone's mind. It didn't start out the way that you see it. It started as just an idea. Maybe the creator of it saw something or heard something that made him or her think about something that could be done with it. And then other ideas were brought in and it became more and more elaborate. But every book, every movie, every story, every statue, every building, everything that you see that's been created by someone or a team of people started as just an idea. And they had to use creative visualization to get it from the point of just an idea to actually existing in reality. So creative visualization can actually be a tremendous tool in getting you from your initial idea to having something out there that everyone can enjoy. It's also possible to visualize and control your emotions. So if you're not in a moving vehicle, you can go ahead and perform this exercise. What does anger look like when you close your eyes? Go ahead and close your eyes right now and imagine what anger looks like. Go ahead and do this now as I am silent. Okay, good. Now, what did you see? What did you see when you imagined anger? When I did it just a moment ago while you were doing it, I saw a red ball. That for me was anger. That was my visualization of anger. Now, whatever you saw was your individual vision, and that's fine for you. There's no right or wrong way to see it. There's no universal vision of anger. It's just whatever you saw is fine with you. Okay, now I want you to close your eyes again, and this time I want you to see your vision of anger, whatever it was, becoming more calm. I want you to add tranquility to it. So what happens when it becomes tranquil? Just imagine it now. Imagine visually seeing it with your eyes closed, visually seeing your anger, and see it changing into tranquility or peacefulness. Go ahead and imagine that now as I'm silent. Okay, good. Now, what happened for you? Hopefully, something amazing happened. Hopefully, as you were seeing that vision, it changed the way you felt. For me, I saw a red ball for anger. It looked kind of like the sun. And then when I imagined tranquility coming in, it was blue water that was washing over it and making it melt. So eventually, over the brief time that I was quiet and thinking about that, the red ball that looked like the sun kind of melted into the blue water. So now I want you to work with that picture again, and I want you to make it more relaxing. You've already taken it from angry to tranquil. Now I want you to make it more relaxing, even more relaxing. Do this now as I'm silent. Okay. So hopefully, again, something amazing happened. For me, remember, initially my anger was a red ball, kind of like the sun. And then when tranquility came in, it was like blue water kind of washing over it and kind of melting it away. And then it dissolved into the blue water. Then when I imagined more relaxation, that blue water became very calm. And I could see a lot of it. I could see it as far as my eye could see. It kind of disappeared over the horizon, like looking out over a calm ocean. And as I was doing that, something happened within my body. Something happened physiologically. I became more relaxed. So I started with creating anger. I created anger in myself by imagining that red ball, and then I moved it to tranquility and then greater relaxation. So that didn't actually take a lot of time, and the rewards can be tremendous. You can take yourself through visualization from actually being angry to being very relaxed. Let's try another exercise. I want you to imagine sadness. If you're not driving, close your eyes. Just imagine sadness. Imagine what it would look like visually with your eyes closed. Imagine sadness. Good. Now, when I imagined sadness, I imagined raindrops, big raindrops that look kind of like cartoon raindrops, like an almond shape dropping from the sky. And each raindrop was about 2 inches tall and maybe a half inch wide. And they're dropping from the sky and they were clear. That's what I saw when I saw sadness, and it made me feel sad. Okay, now what I want you to do is close your eyes again as I'm silent and imagine happiness. Imagine happiness changing that picture. So whatever picture you saw, whatever you saw in your mind, happiness is coming in now, and it's changing that picture. Do this now as I'm silent. Okay, now what did you see? What I saw was the yellow smiley face with the black eyes and a black nose and a black mouth, kind of the stereotypical smiley face, moving in from right to left across my visual field, just a big happy circle, big yellow circle with a smiley face on it, moving in. And as it did, it pushed those raindrops out of the way until all I saw was that big happy smiley face. So that's what happened for me. And as that happened, I felt myself, my emotions, going from sad to happy. And all that happened in a relatively short period of time. Hopefully you had a similar experience, because what we see can dictate what we feel. So you realize now the power of creative visualization. Make sure that when you visualize things, when you imagine things in your mind, they're things that you want to feel in your body, because that's how powerful this is. All right, let's take a little break now. I want to make sure that you're with me, that you're paying attention and that you're learning something. So what I want you to do right now is, if you're driving and you can pull over, go ahead and do that. If you're not driving, then you can definitely do this. You can take out a piece of paper and you can write down 5 things that you've learned so far from what I've said. 5 things that resonated with you. Now, I want you to keep in mind, they don't even have to be 5 things that I said. Maybe you got some good ideas from what I said. Maybe I said something and your brain took it and blew it up a million times and came up with all kinds of wonderful, amazing possibilities based on what I said. If that's the case, then feel free to write that down. I just want you to write down 5 things, whether they came from me or they're just thoughts that came in your head. 5 things that have come to you so far, either from me saying them or from you thinking them, as a result of listening to this program so far. So as I'm silent, I'm going to give you ample time now. I want you to write down 5 things, 5 thoughts that you have as a result of listening to this program so far. Do this now. Okay, do you have your 5 things? If not, go ahead and finish them up. 5 things, write them down. So I'm going to move forward now. Let's take those 5 things that you have written down, and I want you to elaborate on them. For example, if you have an insight number 1, that's I should change blank about myself, whatever it may be, I want you to elaborate on that. Whatever you've written down for point number 1, something that's come to you during listening to this program, I want you to elaborate on that now as I'm silent. Good. And now I want you to take point number 2 and elaborate on that. What was the second point that you wrote down, and how can you enhance this idea? I want you to make it real for yourself, because I want you to have, after you finish this program, something you can use. So on point number 2, elaborate on it. Consider what you wrote down as point number 2, the foundation. Now build a house on it. Go ahead and write down something now as I'm silent. Good. Now you're getting some momentum. Now for point 3. Point number 3 that you wrote down, something that came to you as you listened to this program, I want you to elaborate on point number 3 as I'm silent. Good. Now take point number 4, the 4th point that you wrote down, something that came to you while you're listening to this program. I want you to elaborate on point number 4 as I'm silent. great. Last but not least, point number five. Take point number five and elaborate on it as I'm silent. Good. So now you have something that you can take with you after this program. You have those 5 points that you elaborated on, and you can use them after this program's over. So let's continue on with the information now.